Right. Three professionals were sitting around a table talking about the oldest profession, what it was. And the doctor said, well, the Bible says that God took a rib out of Adam and made the woman. Since that clearly requires surgery, the oldest profession is medicine. So an engineer looked at the doctor and said, well, no, the Bible also says that God created the whole world out of void and chaos. And to do that, God must surely have been an engineer. So the engineer is the oldest, being an engineer is the oldest profession. And the politician smiled and leaned forward and said, ah, but who do you think created the chaos? You know, it is so easy for us to blame politics or blame something. And politicians along with the rest of the world create a certain chaos in the world. But realistically, man himself, along with Satan and his host, have indeed created unbelievable chaos in our life and everybody else's life in the world. And one thing we do know, God didn't cause it. And so we stumble in the chaos, and I want to use these words because I'm going to read Acts, groping for God. Just like this morning as we reach out and try to connect with our Father. And this is what Paul said in Acts 17, and he's talking to a king, and he says, and so they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Does that describe you this morning? And we want a relationship with God the Father. And so over the next weeks today, I want to talk about God the Father. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And then on Christmas, we're going to talk about the Son. And I think we want that relationship with the Father and we want to worship him. But we a lot of times don't necessarily know that kind of relationship, how to really worship him. So I want to look at our verse in Ephesians today, and it's in 5:1, and it's in yellow, so I want you to read it out loud, okay? Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Now, I felt like I had a little feedback or something in my mic. I wasn't able to hear you. Now, this is God's word, right? Okay, and so when we read God's word, we speak it out. It's what we have. So let's do it again. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Wow, what a great verse. Be imitators of God. How can we be imitators of God if we have slim knowledge or of God the Father? And so this morning, I want to start with Jesus' prayer in Matthew 6 when he answers the disciples' question, Lord, teach us to pray. And do you all know the Lord's Prayer? That doesn't happen much in church anymore. You know, when I was a kid, every Sunday you did the Lord's Prayer. That was just part of the deal, okay? And so I put it up in the Old King James because the ones who really know it from the Old King James, amen? Because there was no other translation when I was young, or at least of any worth. So anyhow, let's just say this together, and if you did it, yell it out. We're going to really fill this room with the Lord's Prayer, okay? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How many of you did do that in your services when you were young? Good. Okay, we had a lot. Okay. All right. I want us to meditate this morning. I have two things, Psalms 103 and Matthew 6, and I want us to meditate more, not so much on learning how to pray, but I'm going to pull phrases out of Jesus' prayer that apply solely to the Father, and then we are going to meditate on the Father this morning. So it starts out with verse 9. It says, in like manner, therefore, pray, our Father. Now, you know the thing that I love about Jesus saying our Father, he didn't say my Father, right? It was really his Father, but he said our Father. Our Father, because he's the Father of all of us, the one in heaven is literally how it's stated. The one who is in, and it's not just heaven. You know, we've been taught since you who have been in church all your life, you've been taught that there's a heaven, right? Well, the Bible never says it's singular. It's always heavens. And we'll even see it in Paul's epistles, heavenlies. And so he's saying, our Father who is in the heavenlies, the heavenlies, hallowed be your name. Worship be your name. Reverent, astonished. I love that word astonished, isn't it? That kind of neat. That's part of the hollow, being astonished with the Father. Holy, honored be your name. And may your name be honored is in holy and astonished is the way it would really read literally in the text. Jesus, now listen to this. Jesus is just worshiping the Father's name so far. He hadn't even got to the Father, his name. And I want you to bow your heads with me just for a few minutes. I want to pray and worship. That's what we're doing all morning long. And I just kind of want to pray this back. What Jesus is saying. Father, even your name is holy. Your very presence is holy. You are astonishing. You are amazing. You are surprising. Your name is above all names because you are the Father of glory. You are the Father of your Son, Jesus Christ. You are the Father of us who rescued us and pulled us from the mire and washed us off and made us holy and justified us. And you called us your sons and daughters. Only you could do that in the universe because you are the ultimate holy, holy, holy. Amen. Thank you. Then Jesus prays in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now I want you to think about this for a second. It's our Father's kingdom, not Satan and his sin. It's his will and his desire that will be done and will no longer be Satan's. In the next age to come, God's going to pour out his wrath on the earth for sin, and it's going to be his deal. He's not going to allow the way it is right now. And boy, I hope we're up at bleachers watching. Don't you? I want to see all the Antichrist and the prophet and the beast and all those who follow him. I want to see the destruction. And I want to see our Father glorified like he should be glorified through his Son, Jesus Christ. But God's kingdom, his empire, his dominion, his realm, his monarchy, his theocracy, and his desire will rule the day and from then on. And that's what's going to be done on this earth. And then Jesus ends in worship saying, and let's say it together up here. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, when the kingdom is under your control, we will come to recognize your ultimate power with no holds barred. And the radiance of your glory and the light that is the light that lights heaven at this point will light the earth. And you will destroy the earth and you will recreate the universe and the heavens. And Lord, your very sun will light the earth. And it's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Turn with me to Psalms 103. this morning. It is in your bulletin. If you don't have your Bible, it's over on the left-hand side inside. It's on the flap, sorry. And so you can look at it on the flap. This is a psalm I memorized. I went to a Christian school when I was in third grade. I was fourth grade, and they put me back to third grade. I flunked, okay, believe it or not. Okay, and so my teacher had us all memorize Psalms 103. And it teaches us, actually, how to worship the Father. And the Father, our Father, who is definitely in heaven, and to do this, to truly honor the Father, I want to look at these scriptures and kind of guide us through and instruct us. We've left a little room for sermon notes on your bulletin if you want to write them down to kind of remind yourself. But I want to recall a couple verses before we do this. First, out of John 4, 23, that says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers," are you true worshipers? Yes, we are. "Will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." We can in these ugly bodies, because they're not the new bodies yet, but we can in our spirit, can we not? And we can do it in truth. And it has to be done from the heart. And you might remember 2 Chronicles 16:9, when it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him." Boy, isn't that a great verse? To show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Is your heart loyal this morning? That's one of the things we can kind of meditate on and think on. And God is looking and he's listening. And so the great way to honor the Father is to worship him rightly in spirit and in truth. The truth is the word of God, right? So turn with me to Psalms 103 if you have your Bible. And or look on the bulletin, and you and I, we're going to look at this psalm as kind of a key that helps us unlock the ways that we actually can worship the Father. And my prayer for you today is that this passage will renew your mind and kindle a fresh, intimate worship with your Heavenly Father. So how can we worship the Father? David provides us, I think, with about five critical steps here in building a foundation to honor God, the Father, in worship. Number one, worship by blessing the Father. And this is just a personal praise when we look at the beginning of it. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Is when he says blessing means to praise and glorify the Lord, oh my soul, with my emotions and my thoughts and all that is within me. In other words, God doesn't want the half-baked praise. Amen? He's looking for you to gut it out in some senses, because he sure gutted out on us, didn't he? "And with your thoughts, emotions, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And so we bestow, we confer, we grant praise on him and glorify him who sent his son for us. Number two, then we remember his benefits. So first, we bless him. Second, we remember the benefits, 2 through 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Who forgives, here's the benefits, "who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." That sounds neat. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, we rehearse his benefits, and the benefits, I'm telling you, have only increased since Psalms 103. And let me just give you a taste. We've been studying through the book of Ephesians. He's made us holy. right? And blameless. We're righteous. He's adopted us as sons and daughters according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, because only by grace can that happen, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We're acceptable. He's redeemed us through his blood. He's forgiven our sins, his riches, in the riches of his grace, and he's abounded towards us in all wisdom and knowledge, and he's given us an inheritance. He's made us the praise of his glory. We are trophies of his grace. And all throughout eternity, we will be his trophies. And then he sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee. And the list goes on the rest of the way through the first chapter and in through the second chapter and on into the third chapter, the fourth chapter, the fifth chapter, and the sixth chapter. Now, I've said this before, and I want you to think about it because this may be good for you. When I became a Christian, I was 24. I met Debbie at college. We got married, and my life was still, even though I knew Christ and I was thrilled to death to know Christ, man, I just didn't know what it meant to be a child of God and be secure in that. So every day, I repeated Ephesians 1 and 2, 1 through 10. Every day, I'd sit out on the edge of the bed, I'd throw my feet over, and I'd rehearse that day after day after day after day until I believed it. And you know what? I believe it now. I've rehearsed it enough that I know I'm God's child. I know I'm righteous and holy and blameless and accepted and forgiven. I've been sealed. Do you know what I'm saying? And see, you may hear those and go, oh, those are pretty words, and most other people in the church may get that, but not me. I don't know if God loves me enough. I'm sorry. Get in there and start rehearsing it. Just open up your Bible to Ephesians 1, and if you keep doing that, pretty soon you won't need your Bible anymore. It just kind of memorizes you. And figure out and read and listen, and then believe in spirit and truth what he said about you. Number three, then we celebrate the Father's justice and his compassionate mercy. Listen to this, starting with verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are what? Oppressed. He just doesn't do it to do it. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. And when it says strive with us, in these days, it doesn't mean that he's putting up with us. It means that he won't have to keep working hard and that kind of thing, because we're going to be changed into the sons of God. 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Now listen, can you hear that this morning in your spirit? He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Because what if he did? What if he did? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards us, those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Number four, then we consider the Father's compassion towards us. Listen to this. As a father pities, and it means have compassion, as a father has compassion with his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He gets it. He knows who we really are in some of our daily activities. He knows who we are in this weak flesh. For as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, and the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and his place remembers it no more. You know, it sure sounds like Colorado, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like Colorado in the fall, and all the trees are looking good, and then all of a sudden, every year, this big wind comes up and blows all the leaves off the tree, and all of a sudden, you have these skeleton trees. And so we'd see that. He uses the flower there. We could use our trees for as man, his days are like the trees with the leaves on it, as the flower or the tree of the field, so he flourishes and the wind passes over it, and the leaves are gone. And we're gone. And his place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, from everlasting in the past to everlasting in the future, on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children, to such as keep his commandment, to those who remember his commandments to do them. 5. And if the worship team will come back up, we're going to have them lead us into worship. 5 is continue in worship by obeying the Father's word. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, the ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now let me go over the 5 elements of worship again to simplify them. 1, give blessing to God, to the Father. Remember and rehearse his benefits. Celebrate his justice and his amazing mercy. Consider his compassion towards us, and then worship by obedience to our Father. My friends, today we want to concentrate on worshiping the Father. We give him what he deserves more than just what he asks. We verbalize his worth because he forgave our sin. He's not destroying us and throwing us away because of our sin, but on the contrary, he has dismissed our sin because of what Jesus Christ did. So let's take a moment in silent worship. The team's going to lead us in music, but we're just going to be silent. I want you to look at the words. I want you to listen as they sing the words, and then I'm going to come back and close.